Welcome back, everybody, to the Business of Money podcast. I am your host, Nia Patrick. I am the CEO and founder of Women's Wealth Institute, where I teach financial intelligence to solopreneurs. When your business is your paycheck, you can't afford to guess. So this episode is about paying yourself from investment properties. And if you are in partnership with someone and you're getting ready to go through divorce, some of the things that you want to consider. I've had several friends over the years invest in rental properties. And my brother would invest in properties and he'd rent out rooms and things like that. So I know that's a very big, that's a staple in solopreneurs' businesses is being landlords and real estate agents who also, I had a friend, she was a real estate agent and she owned three different properties and she was always having cash flow problems. And it's always about how to pay themselves when they do the work themselves. That was the biggest issue is how do I pay myself? Like I'm cleaning. I don't always have somebody come in and clean. I have to come in and clean it or have somebody come in and do work for me. And I don't know how to pay myself for being maintenance and management. And then I always consider the solopreneur to be in a partnership or they meaning that somebody works for them or they're going through a divorce or they're breaking up because they are in a relationship with someone and they might have done work for them and things of that nature. So I kind of combined it all. But it's something to think about if you are in a marriage and you own property, you are getting married, and you're thinking about picking up property because it's one of the supposedly greatest investments. Here's something that you want to chew on. Many solopreneurs or investors do own rental properties in legal entities, and the properties generate revenue. The expenses are paid from the entity. Maintenance, repairs, or renovations are performed by the owner or spouse. But here's the key word. Doing the work does not automatically equal personal pay. So first of all, how do you pay yourself from your legal entities? When rental properties are held in LLCs, corporations, or other entities, revenue belongs to the entity first. And the expenses must be paid. That's your mortgages, taxes, insurance, repairs, and property management. Profit remaining can be distributed to owners according to ownership agreements. Even if one partner does all the labor, maintenance, renovations, tenant management, compensation must be documented. The owner draw, if it's an LLC, salary, which is an S corp, and a management fee if it's applicable. If no payment is structured, the labor is uncompensated and the investment is only in the entity, not in a personal cash flow. So, how do you structure compensation? And you can apply this same concept to someone, your partner working in your business. My sister said was considering having her husband work in the business as well as how her kids can work in the business and they can travel the whole nine. And it's always been like a thought, but you know, for her, which it's always a thought for people who are married to, you know, they tell you to take the deduction by hiring your family or hiring your spouse, hiring your kids. The thing is, if they want to work in a business, that's great. If they don't, it's not even a problem. But how do you structure that? First things first, have an agreement on the job, which, let me take that back because I'm saying two different things. The job dictates who gets hired in what position, so that anyone can fill the job, not just a spouse, not just a child, because now you're hiring people. You don't hire because they're a family member. You hire to solve an operational problem, a sales problem, a process problem, or managing, most importantly, the system, period. So let's start there. The system has to support the labor for the productivity to get a return on that productivity when you think about it from a business standpoint. Not just because you want the tax deduction. No, it doesn't work that way. That's not how business operates. There are job responsibilities, duties, and some type of remuneration tied to that particular position. That comes from the person running the business because you are now HR. And does it have benefits? So when we look at that, does it have benefits? And what are the job responsibilities? Anyone can fill it. But when you are looking at an operating agreement, that's you and your partner delegating the separation of duties and who's responsible for what. That's at a partnership level. That's why it's called an operating agreement. For myself, I'm not married. I don't have anybody, right? I don't have anybody that I live with, and I'm not in a relationship. I'm not cohabitating. I'm not doing any of that. If I was to get married and my husband and I are going to invest in real estate, me personally is setting up a separate entity and then an operating agreement for the entity to determine the division of duties between me and my spouse and how we're going to be compensated, 50-50, 80-20, whatever the case may be, drawn up by a lawyer. Not something that we can agree and then let the lawyers independently, they have their lawyer, I have my lawyer. We can negotiate on how we're going to operate this business. Because it's financial. Because in a divorce, everyone's going to have their own lawyer. And now they have to negotiate backwards. Well, I did this, I did this, I did that, I did. No. Do you have anything showing what you did? No. And if one person, so it gets a little tricky when you're already married, before you get married, now you're deciding to do this, and one person is doing all the work, which is how this episode came about. Because a friend of mine said, I'm taking care of my properties and I can't figure out how to pay myself. And he was married. And I was at that time when it was mentioned, I think I was watching Jordan Peterson talk about divorce and how divorce gets really nasty because people decide money is more important than anything else. And everybody wants to, and I've seen it happen many times. So there's no protections, and everybody thinks about protecting their own assets when it's time for a divorce. Nobody thinks about protecting their assets before they get married. Only rich people do. That's what prenuptials are for. And once you get married, you can't have a prenup. There's no such thing as a postnuptial. That's not legal. Prenuptials, nobody says, if we decide to rent property, how are we going to split that up? My group will always ask, before you even think about having a conversation with me financially, let's see if you even fit in the fabric. Are you part of the culture? Do you understand where I'm going, right? This is why Oprah is still single. Right. And she's my best example because she has all the money in the world. She was about to get married and she was like, yeah, no, no. Why would I do some dumb shit like that? So my group thinks about these things ahead of time and just have financial intelligent conversations with their partner. But I digress. And I digress because that's how important it is. You can go off in many tangents like marriage can, right? So how do we structure compensation? Determine labor value. And this is if you're married or not. Determine labor value. Estimate the market value for hours spent on maintenance, renovations, or management. Allocate through the entity, issue draws, or management fees proportionally. Document everything. Keep invoices, agreements, and payroll records, if applicable, and plan for taxes. Payments from the entity may have tax implications. Track and allocate. This ensures labor is valued and traceable, even if cash flow is limited. This is when you hire your auntie to do your books. This is when you hire your kids to do your maintenance. This is when you hire your spouse to handle the books or do the file, whatever it is. So here is divorce considerations. If a spouse performs all labor but is unpaid, the court may consider contributions during asset division. Ownership agreements and entity structure play a critical role. Labor contribution can influence settlement, even if not financially compensated. Documentation is critical. Hours worked, responsibilities and agreements, and the goal is clarity. Ownership versus labor versus compensation. Without it, disputes arise, and misunderstandings about contribution versus income are very common. So here's some key takeaways. Working on a property does not equal personal income unless structured through the entity. Compensation must be intentional and documented. Legal entities protect the asset, but personal pay must be separate and clear. In a divorce, documented contributions strengthen your position. And here's your action steps. Review all legal entities and ownership agreements regularly. Update them, revise them, negotiate them. Determine how labor will be compensated going forward. Run it through each independent legal advisor. Document all labor contributions, who did what and when. Ensure entity distributions are formalized and consult an accountant or tax accountant for tax and divorce implications. Your business, your investments, your labor all should create stability for you independently, for the household, and for the marriage together. Unpaid work is a gap in financial leadership for both parties. Neither person is excluded. Both parties need financial leadership because that's the only way it's going to work. And partnership gets thrown around a lot. It's about trust. It's about trusting that this person that's sitting across from you is going to be fair when you're sitting across with another person negotiating for you. Trust me, I know I'm divorced. When structured properly, both income and asset protection coexist, even through life events like divorce. And divorce is part of my divorce conversations, is part of my practice because I'm divorced. Because I understand the financial implications of a divorce. I'm going to build up that practice because, and it's not just women, it's just people, period. Divorce is very challenging when people have assets that need to be distributed. I've watched friends and family lose their assets. They have to give up their equity because there's no agreements in place because of the blind trust that's given to a partner who may or may not contribute. And even if they did, then they're not getting compensated for it. I worked for a woman who she was a bookkeeper, and she asked me to do the payables for a couple that owned a chiropractic business. They were both equal partners. They were going through a divorce. All the money from the chiropractic business went into a joint account. The challenge was my friend worked for the husband, not the wife, because he needed to get his books together for this divorce. And he was having a problem paying the bills because when the money hit the business account, the wife pulled out all the money. Got to be more careful. The wife pulled out all the money. And he's left trying to struggle paying his bills, his personal bills. It was mostly his personal bills. He couldn't pay his credit cards. And his credit card balances are creeping up because she snatched the money out. So I'm in this account where I'm paying his personal bills. And he had $10,000, $20,000, $30,000. And there's more than enough money, but he's got this debt because she got to the money first. And she was just like, I don't know what he's going to do. I'm trying to help him. And we're just trying to make sure the bills get paid. So here's some money, pay this bill. And this is how much you're going to pay. And then just email the receipt. Okay, so I'm doing payables. So when she told me he's going through a divorce, I said, you know what? Let her keep. I said, here's something that you might want to tell your client. I'm like, your client's got a lot of credit card debt. And she's like, yeah, that's his problem. He's trying to pay it down when as he's going through this divorce to reduce his overall, you know, liabilities. I said, no, don't do that. I said, let her keep taking the money. Let her keep taking the money and tell him to keep trying to pay the bare minimum on that, those balances, and let those balances accumulate. Because at the end, she can afford the alimony payments. He can't because he's heavily in debt. So they see that she keeps grabbing the money, sticking it into her account, and probably stashing it aside and paying down her credit cards, which shows that she has the ability to pay him alimony and pay off his credit card debt. Because see, she has more money than he does. She is like, I never thought about it that way. Of course you didn't, because you've never been through a divorce. I have. And I understood that, not just personally, but from an accounting standpoint, he who has the money pays. So if he goes to pay off his credit cards and then her credit cards, then at least they're on equal standing. But since she wants to be so smart and pulling out the money so quick, not a problem. Let her go ahead and pay to continue to take the money. Tell him to just pay his bare minimum like he's been. Shows he's financially strapped. And then don't run up any more debt and don't open any more debt. Just deal with what you have and just let her be quick on the draw. Don't be quick on the draw and take the money and try to live off what he can to get through the divorce and then have his lawyer request that she pays him alimony and then takes care of his financial, because he's got financial hardship. Even though their partnership is in this chiropractor, he's trying to maintain himself personally, because the divorce is personal first and the business is second. So she's taking not only the business income, but she's hindering him from being able to pay his bills and the company bills, the chiropractic bills. Oh, she's going to owe a lot of money. He who has the money rules. She was like, brilliant. And I say the same thing to you. Divorce is about ending a financial transaction in the end. Not about trust, not about fidelity, not about alienation of affection, none of that. No contest, and they look at the financial position of each person. If the stay-at-home mom is at home taking care of the kids, the husband's running the business, or vice versa. The gender roles traditionally is usually the mom. She normally wants to keep the house because she wants her place to live. She wants the kids in school, and the husband's been providing. But if he loaded up on debt and he can't pay, she now has to maintain that house by herself. She has no income. And she's hoping to alimony and cover it. But he's loaded up on debt. How would they possibly do that? So now he doesn't have so much money to allocate towards alimony and child support. So now she's getting a little bit of child support. She's got this big house she has to maintain, and hopefully the rental properties are there. But if he restructured the rental properties beforehand because she's not involved in the business, it's a problem. The flip side of that is when I lost my train of thought. Because I was thinking about she's staying at home, she's running a business, but she's not being compensated for it. And or she has to leave the house because she can't maintain the house. Usually it's the house, and nobody considers the assets and how, who's taking care of the maintenance of the house. It's the person who has the income, because money rules the world. If I think about whatever I was thinking about, I'll address that on another podcast. But you have to think about these kinds of things when you're getting ready to get a divorce. And when folks are owning properties and someone is doing all the work and someone is not, it's going to be a challenge. And even just maintaining the property, you're not being properly compensated. And that's because there's no structure. And when there's no structure, there's no stability. All right, let me leave that right there. Check me out on my website, womenswealthinstitute.com. That's how you got here. Check out, see what we got. We got plenty of products and services. You need help, book my time. You want to have a discussion about it, and you want to think it through, you want to talk it through, I'm here for you. All right, that's it for this episode. I am Nia. I am the host of the Business of Money podcast, part of the Women's Wealth Institute's brand. Because when your business is your paycheck, you can't afford to guess. Check you in the next one.